Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Wilbur Conley, the young squirt who works for us. We threw some of that.
His request, this is Catherine Flowers. She wants to know the name of that toe tapper we played back on Monday, the 19th of March. We'll have to check on that. We'll let you know, ma'am. I can get myself, but we have a record of it somewhere.
Yeah.
And, this is an old postcard from Fort Washington.
That's great.
This must date back to about 1924-25. Corner of Main Street and Shore Road in Fort Washington from, I can't quite make it out, Jack O'Turber, is it? But anyway, that's a real collector's item, that postcard.
I guess you might want to live there. They've got electricity in now and
that's my neck of the woods out there, you know.
Right. Mrs. Holder here in New York wanted to know if we could play Footsteps on the Porch. That was a great...
Footsteps on the Porch each night.
Great Helene J. Snyder hit that we made famous some years back. Well, we made her famous some years back. I don't know whether we could find that. We'll look for it.
Note from the Ms. Gottenberg in Livingston, New Jersey. It's very kind of her to write and say those nice words. Well, we want to do thank you for all the nice mail we've been receiving since we came back here to WOR just 2 weeks ago.
We'll try to answer them as soon as they let us say.
Very nice to know that people listen and appreciate.
Hi, Mary. Yes, it is.
I saw one card where a chap said he arrives home a little happier now after being in all the traffic on the Long Island Expressway.
That's good.
Well, that's a good idea. You know, it's better to have some company on the radio than to be just sitting there pounding the dashboard.
And I saw one the other day that I couldn't believe it. The lady said that her husband spend sometimes 3 hours getting from the city to home.
That is a grind, and you can get on that expressway and really spend some time there. You get to know your neighbor in the next car.
Well, we'll try to be your company if you stick with us here at Radio New York, and we'll stick with Radio New York.
This looks good for the whole weekend, as a matter of fact. So that's pleasant.
Chester Hasbrook Frisbee, author of Very Backstage.
Well, you don't always have to refer to me as Chester Hasbrook Frisbee.
Can you give us a little inkling of where the story, what direction the story is going to take in the next few days? They're going to Seattle, I guess.
Well, this is Friday, and you always have to establish some sort of what we call a cliffhanger.
They always did that, didn't they, in radio?
Bring the listeners back on Monday.
I'm listening as
so, well. So let me just say that we will have a cliffhanger in today's episode.
Something that will make people so anxious to find out what happens and how it will affect the lives of their friends.
Wonderful
written
old
by
device.
You, Chester Hasbrook Frisbee, that they will tune in on Monday. All right. Right here, it's 8 minutes before 4 o'clock.
Bob over there, Ray over here, and isn't it a lovely day? Isn't it just wonderful here in New York?
You make it sound like a very big studio.
It is fairly good size. It's linoleum.
Desk.
It's linoleum from Naugahyde covering on some of the chairs. Isn't it? I don't know what it is, to be honest with you. No, it isn't. Thank you. It's kind of a flaw.
Doesn't require any applause, audience.
It's easily maintained. That's the secret. That's the kind of furniture
isn't
we
that
want.
The secret of anything today?
Sure, absolutely.
Rounded baseboards and anything to say. I know it's helped me in my dusting immeasurably.
Right.
My mopping.
And I hope everything is all right with you. A little later, we'll be having our first contact with George Meade up in Helicopter 710 a little later. Sam DeLuca will be along in about a half hour with all the latest sports news.
And our special guest of the day is the word wizard, Dr. Elmer Stapley, who will be making his first appearance in the next 20 minutes or so.
And the backstages will be along in few minutes with the Friday cliffhanger episode of the weekend.
Yes, isn't that right? Chester Hasbrook Frisbee,
right.
Author of The Backstages.
That's right. I just want to remind the engineering department to get out the old soft shoe because in today's episode, Pop is going to dance.
Again?
Right.
Okay. Well, that's about it then, folks. You know what it's going to amount to. It's up to you. Do you stay with us? Is it a winner or a loser?
It's a winner.
Next, Mary Backstage, Noble Wife, the story of America's favorite family of the Footlights and their fight for security and happiness against the concrete heart of Broadway.
Today.
Oops, stuck. The stock, now they're broken. Sorry, go ahead.
Today, Mary, Harry, Pop, and Calvin are preparing to leave New York for their trip to the West Coast and the opening of Westchester Furioso. And at the backstage summer home in Skunkhaven, we hear Mary say,
"Anybody want some cocoa? I just made a big pot."
"No, I don't believe so."
"Anybody?"
"Now I can hear you better, Mary."
"Anybody would like a pitcher full of Manhattans?"
"Hey.
What are you talking about?"
"Hey, now, baby.
What are you talking about?"
"Well, I just feel so giddy thinking that we'll be leaving for Seattle in a few days."
"On Monday, I think. Our tickets call for us to leave. And we're going by train, Calvin."
"Oh, really?
Oh, really?
You're not flying?"
"No. We thought it might be nice to take a leisurely trip by train to the coast."
"Yes, we thought it would be nice to get to see the country. And also, it would give us an opportunity to learn our lines. So by the time we get to Seattle, we'll be able to enjoy salmon and won't have to stay home and read our lines."
"Some of them don't
enjoy what?
Crabs, too."
"Salmon."
"Those what?" "Dungeness crabs. Don't they get those out that way?"
"Oh, they're so delicious."
"Yes, and those, I'm trying to think, those gooey ducks."
"Chocolate-covered peanuts?"
"They have gooey ducks in Seattle."
"What is that exactly? I've heard it's some kind of a seafood, isn't it?"
"It's a clam. You can't believe the size of it. It's about a 4-pound clam."
"Wow, makes me sick to think of it."
"Well, I don't think we'll bother with the gooey ducks while we're there.
But we will be able to see some of the countryside along the way and learn our lines, as you say. I'll bet a lot of the country has changed since we last traveled, Mary."
"Oh, yes, the buffalo have been almost wiped out, you know, the bison."
"I know they have." "Well, let's get to the cliffhanger because
Mary,
this episode
going to
is nearly over."
"Mary, are you going to take this dining room table with you?"
"No, we're not taking any furniture with us, Calvin. We won't be there for forever, you know."
"What in the world would we take the dining room table with us for?"
"Well, it's a nice one, and, you know, you can seat the six of us around there comfortably."
"Well, you can go to a restaurant while we're in Seattle." "What are you going over in the corner for, Pop? You going to dance a little bit?"
"Hey, I might just do that.
Let's all watch Pop dance.
Give me a handful of that sand there. Let me spread it around the linoleum."
"I'll go get the vacuum so it can clean up after you through there."
Thanks, Telegram!
Wait a minute. A telegram? Good news or bad?
I don't know. You'll have to read it yourself. I can't make head or tail of it.
Let me see. Hate to get telegrams.
Well, don't tear it into shreds. Just read it.
Mary, look at this.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
So on the eve of their departure for Seattle, a telegram arrives and seems to stir the concern of Mary and Harry. Be sure and join us on Monday when we'll hear Greg Marlowe, young playwright secretly in love with Mary, say,
"Oh, my."
In the next exciting episode of Mary Backstage, Noble Wife, Word Carr speaking. Stapley, the word wizard. Dr. Stapley is one of the nation's outstanding authorities on the meaning and derivation of English words. And to answer some of the questions you've sent in about our language and its correct use, I guess we're set to get rolling. Right, Doctor?
Well, Mr. Elliott, I'm afraid your patronization of that last phrase has created a context that's completely subliminal.
Uh-huh.
It's only possible to get rolling on some type of wheel vehicle, all of which have tangibleness. Henceforward, one can get rolling on a coastal wagon, a bicycle, or even an old Pierce Arrow if it's in workmanship order. However, a question is only an intangible figment of speech and is totally non-pragmatic as a means of transportal. Do I make myself adhesive?
No, but I can see how you might if I let you go along long enough. But I did want to get to a letter here before we have to get back to the work of the day. This is from a lady in Rhode Island who writes, "Ever since I was a little bit of a thing, I've heard the phrase hard as nails being used to describe strong, unemotional people. However, due to a vitamin deficiency, my own nails are quite brittle and break easily. I still use them as a guideline in seeking out a strong, unemotional husband. What I wound up with is a sniveling coward who's quite brittle and breaks easily. Does this always happen when you marry somebody who's hard as nails, or have I misunderstood the meaning of the phrase?
Well, of course, it really isn't even a phrase. It's just an old semaphore.
Yeah.
But she still misunderstood it. Actually, the term is hard as snails, and it dates back to mediocrity times when people thought that the hard shell of a snail was part of the animal itself.
Uh-huh.
Later, of obviousness, pediatricians discovered that the shell was just the home of the little Rosicrucians. Inside, the snail itself was quite soft and gooey.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no wonder that this woman's husband seems to fit the same general description, soft and gooey.
Don't think I've ever seen you take quite as long a detour into an area that you know nothing about and still manage to wind up right where you started.
Thank you, and I did it all without a compass, too.
Proves a person can accomplish a lot if they practice going around in circles long enough. We'll get back to the doctor in a little while. Doctor, if you'd just join our audience over there, we have some things to do, such as hear about Chrysler right now. I just wanted to ask a quick question of the author of Very Backstage, Chester Hasbrook Frisbee. Chester Hasbrook Frisbee, the fact that you're moving the locale of the story to Seattle, does that mean that you have a particular knowledge of that area of the country? Have you picked that as a place for them to open the show for a reason?
Well, Robert Brackett Elliott and Raymond Walter Goulding.
You don't need to call us by our full names.
I spent a good deal of time in our great Northwest.
You did?
Yes. So that's
they
why.
Say it's beautiful out
yes,
there.
Yes, it is.
Up around, across the bay to Vancouver.
Yes, that's true.
Art Linkletter's hometown, I believe, isn't it?
I have no idea. No idea at all.
Okay, Chester Hasbrook Frisbee, author of...
Robert Brackett Elliott.
Mary
Raymond Walter Goulding.
Backstage. And we'll be hearing from them. We're going to hear... Hopefully the word wasn't here with us again today, and I wonder if we have time for one letter right here, Doctor, before we proceed on our way. Yes, our producer says we do. This is from a...
Certainly applications with me.
What?
It's certainly applications with me.
This, I think,
is... no derivation of time. It's entirely upon your responsibilities.
This is from a man in Leonia, New Jersey, who writes, recently I bought a bottle of rubbing alcohol to apply to a lot of sore, aching muscles I had. The label on the bottle said for external use only. So, of course, I undressed and went out in the front yard where I was immediately arrested. Now the judge won't even let me introduce the label in evidence because he claims I misunderstood it. I've reread the instruction many times, and I still don't see what else it could mean, do you?
No, the phrasing is perfectly indigenous. It seems to me like a gross undercarriage of justice.
Yeah, the instruction for external use only is bound to mean that the rubdown has to take place outside the house. Of course, the man mentions that he was still in his yard when he was arrested, Doctor. Do you think the judge might feel the location wasn't external enough? I mean, the word external could imply someplace more public, like a bus.
No, that point was clarificated in the case of McVeedman versus the Kansas City Transit Authority. There, McVeedman tried to get on a bus clad only in his rubbing alcohol. And the court upheld the right of the driver to order him back into his own front yard.
This should be an open and shut case, I guess.
Sure.
We'll get back for more words with the doctor, the good doctor, in just a little bit. Dr. Elmer Stapley, the word wizard, and I know you have to leave very soon, Doctor, so we'll get to one final letter here, if we may. Question from a woman in Suffern, New York. That's where they make the succotash, isn't it?
I believe so.
She writes...
If my magnification serves me correctly.
She writes, I am a school teacher and enjoy using a lot of profanity in front of my students. However, I am worried that we have several new rules about what may and may not be taught in the classroom. As a language expert, can you suggest a few cuss words that still might be legal?
Yes, I'd say that anything which is profane but still understandable and appreciated by all the minority groups is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the level of understanding depends upon the age of the students, so I can't make any specific suggestions.
Well, I guess we can be grateful for that. And I guess it's been a little bit of a pleasure to have you here this afternoon, Doctor.
Well, thank you. I'm always mortified to come.
We're mortified when you do. I hope our listeners will join us for another informative session soon. If you have any questions about words and their derivations, please send them along in care of Dr. Elmer Stapley, Bob and Ray, here at Radio New York. Gentlemen.
I'd like to be able to play jealousy today, fellas. It's Friday, you know.
All right. I'll tell you what. I promise you, right after we hear from our critic at large, you can play it, all right?
Oh, of course.
We have a very tight schedule. We have a tight schedule.
All right,
but
all right.
If we move along,
okay.
We can get it. Here is Sandy Lesberg.
Freehold.
Oh, this is Webley Webley. Webster.
So
excited. At the hand-burnished, beautiful W.O.R. organ and jealousy.
break here at 6 minutes. 6 minutes before six. Time for sports with Sam DeLuca.
Sam?
Call now.
I say, Wally, come here. I want to talk to you about your candidacy for the mayoralty.
Yes, well.
I see where the Republicans over in Brooklyn didn't go along with the governor in supporting Vladimir Wagner.
They rejected the fusion candidacy for Vladimir Wagner, that's right.
Right. Well,
of course, that is going to affect my position in my thinking and my decisions.
Well, look, if you got the support, say, of the Republicans in Brooklyn, would that help your candidacy?
I think it would certainly help me, of course.
On the other hand, if you don't get it, would it discourage your
It wouldn't force me to drop out were I to run, let's put it that way.
But you're still...
I still haven't decided, and as we said earlier, I think the early part of the week is the better time to make an announcement rather than on the weekend when many people are out of town and not maybe paying too much attention to political announcements.
Right.
You're taking it all with a grain of salt, as many people do.
Right, Wally Ballou. Call now.
I was hoping I'd have time for another showbiz reminiscence story, but I don't think I do tonight. And I hate to get into the middle of those and not be able to finish them. So I'll just keep that one till next week, and you folks there in the audience can remind me of it. Thank you.
Wait. I think it's time now that we settle back and make plans to listen to all the sports news, Mr. Bob.
All right.
And you two... Mr. Ray and Mr. Stan. Let's see. What? Something I wanted to say and it slipped my mind.
Something about your diet?
No.
Your weekend? Weather?
Yeah.
Sports plans? Going to play baseball this weekend?
Yeah, that's it. Looks like a good day to limber up the old baseball mitt and glove. Get out and break it in this weekend. And start breaking off my curveball.
Now watch your back.
Right. Okay, let's check on all the sports news with Stan Lomax now. But again, thank you, Stan, for all the sports news, and that kind of wraps it up for this week.
Yeah, for today and this week. We'll be back on Monday.
Do you have any big plans?
Until Monday. I have some big ones for Monday, and I'll tell you more about that come Monday afternoon. We want to give credits where credits are due for this week. Our producer has been Michael Wiseman.
And Ronnie Hopper and George Black, our engineers.
The Animal Acts was staged by Roger Barstow.
And, well, that's about it.
Well, we want to thank... Moms, our wardrobe lady, for taking care of our clothes, our stage clothes all this
week.
Well,
we could go on and on with these credits, but I think we better stop now.
I suppose we should.
Until Monday, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.
This is WOR New York.